This is the Levels Network. I'm Justin Aldo, joined by the Triple OG, Widomu Mason. It is round four preview time, brother.
It's fine. It is fine.
We're getting into the season, aren't we? Some big games. I love Easter weekend, too.
How long does it take us to get a surreal, like, you know, how's that team going, right?
Ooh.
We said about 10, don't we? Say about 10?
Yep.
Four's like, you know.
I think you start.
Start ruling off teams at four. I can rule one off.
Yeah.
Titans.
They only played two
straight
as well.
Away. Done.
They haven't even played three.
Two when I'm done with them.
Okay.
Can't lose one of the best forwards in the world.
True.
You cannot lose that.
Okay, so that
you
plays into it. That
yeah. I can only say that right now because Tino is out.
Yeah.
They still have Tino. I still hope.
All right.
Still hope because Fifita's coming back. All that sort of stuff. We'll get to that. But I'm like, right now, it's wooden spoon.
That's interesting. Well, we don't have this story. I've seen it was, you know, Braithen and the gang were talking about it on 360. Apparently,
sorry, Des.
Everyone knows the get out clause that David Fifita has.
No, I didn't know that. Can you explain?
You didn't know.
No.
So, yeah, this wasn't a part of the show, but fuck it, we're here. Apparently, David Fifita put in a clause before round 10. He wanted to get a feel for Desi and the coaching staff and how the team was going. He can leave before round 10 at any point. He can neutralize the contract and I dare say then just move on to another team if he deems.
Yeah, well, he's obviously have a look at the structure. Look if it's built around him. You just lost Tino. Does he like the coaching? He has every right to walk because it's in his contract. He wouldn't put that in his contract. So don't be surprised if he's playing for another team.
What's your gut feeling on that situation? You only just learned about the contract then. I'm just telling you now. Judging by that you just said you don't think the Titans are going to be – you're putting a line through the Titans. What do you think, David?
I think it's a smart move from David Fifita. It's a great move. You know what I mean? Just sussing out how the team's going to go, the coaching's going to go. If he doesn't like it, he's got every right to walk away. He's obviously had conversations with – the Titans, everyone like they know he has a right to walk away. So if he does, don't act surprised.
He can't restructure it though. So it's purely like he wanted to get a feel for the new vibe. He re-signed the back of last year because he had a clause. Yeah. I think they both had a clause. I could be wrong. I know Tino did for sure with Justin Holbrook getting sacked. Yeah. So they had that clause in there to begin with that kept him at the Titans. And then when he signed his new deal, he wanted to get a feel before round 10. So
wouldn't be feeling that good right now.
You've just learned about the contract situation just off the top of your head. Who would be who would be in the market for David Fifita? You got to take in consideration that by the time if he ends up leaving just before round 10, maybe 60-70% of his contract would be paid. So essentially, you'd be getting a $1 million back rower for $300,000 for the year.
It'd be huge. If he was a front row, I know there'd be a lot more suitors. But because he's a left side back row predominantly, you're probably looking, like, just say, would everyone be saying the Bulldogs? No, because we've got kick out. He's one of the best back rowers in the
game. Jacob Preston looks really
good.
As
Jacob Preston's got it going on. You know, he's a good young kid. He's the future of the club. You look at the Tigers, maybe. The Tigers have a really good left side back row. They're not as dominant. Now, you could name him, right?
Yeah, but it's not
like you can fit him around there. You can push Bateman to lock, all that kind of stuff, and sort of get Bolle off the bench a little bit more, a little bit more game time.
Yep. I think actually I've been watching Bateman recently first two games, and I think he's
getting up there, bro.
I think he's looks like he's got to move to the middle.
He's getting up there. He's getting up there. You know, so what's some other teams? There wouldn't be that many out there.
I'd be leaning more towards contenders, Mace, for the point where you're getting him for a discount. So Titans would be paying him roughly 600, maybe 500,000 to 600,000 of his contract this year.
Yeah.
And then the team that would pick him up for maybe 250, 300 this year. Then obviously the price tag that comes with that after. But
you know where he'd kill it?
Where?
I know Sean Lane's their boy, but Parramatta. He's got Dylan Brown there. I know Lane's like he's their left side back row. I know, but like Dave Fifita on his best day is better than every left side back rower in the comp on his day. He's most destructive when he has a lot of diversion around, when he's getting one on ones. No one's better.
Yeah,
he's an animal
in a great system.
He's an animal
with Dylan Brown.
Yes,
game over.
That's what I'm saying. You put him in that system, you're like shit.
You know,
Roosters. Left side back row?
I don't think Roosters would. I think they've got too many players.
Too many back rows. Look, let's just rule them out.
And like,
South Sydney.
South.
Yes.
South's Kalama a huge one.
On the right, put Fifita on the left. Then
South,
you got a team.
Kalama Tungi's been playing right his majority of his career. South's are the one that stand out. Yeah. If they were to get their shit together and add a David Fifita, that is like
for
a
cheap, right?
I think, yeah, for cheap, $300,000.
You're getting him for nothing. You're getting him, you know.
And the other one.
Pennies on the dollar.
He's looked really good in his first two games. He missed last week. Melbourne Storm.
Yeah. Someone like Melbourne Storm. Imagine him under Bellamy under 1 year.
Outside Munster.
Ooh.
For a one-year deal, and then maybe he goes back into the – maybe he, you know, he backs himself, you know, walks away from a fucking multi-million dollar deal, has a crack, tries to win a premiership somewhere. And not saying the Rabbitohs, because I know a lot of people are going to be, yeah, Rabbitohs, what the fucking 0-3. But if they had David Fifita, that's a – I think the big – you know, there's been some big changes that have happened at South, but they really lack on the left edge back row. So they've moved Kalom and Tungy over to the left to try to help that, but it's really weakened their right edge. And I dare say Kalom and Tungy will be back on the right this week with Jacob Hoste playing on the left. And Jacob Hoste is a solid player, but David Fifita is a different level. And then their right wing spot, they've sort of been flirting with, and even with Alex Johnson, really good try scorer, but their wingers positions is sort of a position of need as well.
Even
but
like a Cowboys for 1 year, put him on that left edge.
I think Cowboys wouldn't. I don't think Cowboys would.
Because you've got Fenny Fuiaki, but like you play him off the bench, he's a beast. I'm just saying for 1 year.
Yeah.
If he wants to go and chase a ring, for 1 year.
Depends on the health of Lukey. With this ankle syndesmosis. So if they're going to get him back, I think that would cause more headaches than anything because they're trying to re-sign both those kids. Not so, I hate saying kids like that, but Lukey and Fenny Fuiaki.
He's 21. They're 20.
And then it wouldn't surprise me with all the players they've let go and cap space. Because they would have cap space left too as the Panthers. Like they could do it to Vita Pangai Jr. Far out.
Imagine if they did.
They could do it to Vita Pangai
Jr. They have enough.
Jr. Because they had to leave Critico, which they would have accounted for $650 in their cap.
Luai's gone now.
Luai's leaving next year, but so specifically this year, Spencer Lenu, they would have probably had $500 in their cap for him.
There's enough.
But they weren't able to keep him because he goes for potentially, you know, $657.
That's the one I'd be looking at.
So
if I was David Fifita, I'd be looking at Penrith.
Imagine if he goes to Penrith.
God.
Imagine if he leaves. Sorry, Titans fans.
No, we're just watching your first two games and they're fucking awful.
Speaking of Gold Coast, mate, our little mate, Luke, he's got the fight of his life, just like the Titans to keep David Fifita. He will be fighting at the Gold Coast Convention Centre. Follow Alpha Events on Instagram for all the updates. I know my mate's getting into it now. He's been getting into the gym.
He's shadow boxing in there.
I can see him now. Look at him. He's getting into his
good
work.
Jab.
He's sweating. Oh, there's Rennie Matua. Rennie's getting in there as well. It's shadow box. It's on. It's on. As always, thank you to everyone who has been subscribing and following the podcast of late. The numbers are just going through the roof. The episode on Monday really hit. In particular.
I always ask Lukey why. Why does it hit a particular like show like that?
Yeah.
Is it because of the young kid? Because it's Turbo, you know?
Young
it's like a bit of both, right?
Yeah.
Because Turbo's so popular and then you got a young kid just going through his chest.
People, like, there were a few comments and look, there are comments that I respond to on YouTube, which we'll get to soon, which we build out our show. But really, the ones on Instagram can get a bit willy-nilly and go over the top. And a lot of people were questioning the defensive abilities of Tommy Turbo, saying, "Oh, that's nothing." Go back and watch the film. Like, Tommy's been injured for a couple of years now, but at his peak. Not many people do that to Tommy Turbo. He is a different beast. And Tommy got there with plenty of time. He could have made the tackle, and I think it's surprising.
Give the kid his flowers. It's a great run.
Definitely deserved it. And give us the flowers on Instagram, on Apple, on Spotify. Leave us a podcast review or subscribe. Want to thank our partners, BSC, as always, for the BSC energy drinks. If you haven't tried them yet, it has 160 milligrams of caffeine, no sugar, no carbs. It's acid-tested. And that's important because us athletes, Mace, or past athletes, we're still getting after it. And BSC are just about to announce the rest of the team for the Aqua Rugby team that we'll be playing in a couple of weeks in the harbour, mate. So
you're all right. There'll be some solid hits there, man.
Yeah.
I'm very wary of that.
Have you watched some of the highlights of it?
Yeah. People get lifted.
Yeah. Some of
you slipping into stuff. I'm slipping, someone catches you with a forearm.
Yeah, it's on.
Don't be swinging it.
It's on.
Do not be – it'll be cocked like that.
Yeah. And you might be having a few beverages on the day. And maybe
might loosen up the blow.
Maybe some BSC energy drinks mixed in with
vodka.
All right, mate, let's get into YouTube questions. I've got a fair few this week. Nothing really in the topics that excited me. But we'll talk a little bit about Kevy extending to the end of 2026. But let's kick it off. And this is a two-part question. This is two questions that I've meshed into one. So how good was it seeing Moses and Brooks go at each other on Sunday? They both threw heaps of plays at each other trying to spot each other up. There was a little bit of verbal that I noticed as well. Both held their own in a narrow points win to Moses. Makes me wonder, what are some of the best friends off the field, enemies on it, rivalries you can think of? Mace, I've got one that stands out that I'd like to know about, particularly some that the fans might not be aware of as well, some players that you love going against, Mace. And this one's from Johnny Lloyd, and it's sort of similar. All right, lads, just listen to the question about JP and talking about Moz. All right, lads, he must be Pommy as well too, 100%. By the way. Mace, what would your preparation be Monday to Friday knowing you were coming up against an enforcer like Morley, for example, knowing they would be doing homework on you as you were doing homework on them? Top podcast, lads. Big love from Johnny Lloyd. So my question with them meshed together, when Sonny Bill, you went against Sonny, obviously really good mates from the Bulldogs, but you end up going to the Roosters. That week, tell me – fill me in on the were there any nerves playing the Bulldogs again? The preparation to go against one of your good mates?
And good mates, not just mate, that whole team.
And the whole team, but specifically Sonny because he was their alpha and you're their alpha.
They built it up massively, which it wasn't that big in my head. Nothing's really that big. The game,
you never get too flustered like that about anyone? No, I never get too fussed about like individual.
Opposition-wise, other players, friends that I'm playing against, you know? Like, you know, you're confident in your own ability. And he's confident in his ability. I'm confident in my ability. Like, you're going against Rennie and Bobcat and all these other guys, you know. So, you know, I prep good. So, I'm confident in myself going out there. And you know it's just going to be a collision sport. It's going to happen. Prep yourself for where it's going to happen. So, you're going to go in. You're not going out there half versus half when you're just going to pass it. It's a skill set.
Yeah, good point.
I'm the dude who sets the tone, right, in the team. And he's that guy. So, we're going to meet somewhere. It's just it. It's inevitable. So just have your mindset like that. It's just going into war. It's me versus him. But like we still got to win the game, right? You just don't take things that personally. You still got to go against each other.
It's a team sport.
It's a team sport. Mm. You know what I mean? Like it's not one. It's not a boxing match.
Yeah.
It's not it. It's a team sport. So you just try and win the game. You win little battles here and there. Like me and him, we just went out. We played the game fair. We weren't. It was nothing dirty in it at all. Even when I played at Newcastle, when he was at the Roosters, right? Mm. We just ran at each other. Bang. Just like two big balls meeting in the middle. We're just like,
it's good collision.
Fuck, what do? Yeah. You can't win. You can't lose. It's just like he just – because he hits so hard, I run hard. And he gives it back. You know what I mean? It's fair.
Yeah.
It's tip for tat. It's not about, like a
– sorry, mate.
No, it's not like – you're not trying to go at him every single game. You're like, you can throw the whole fucking football game off. Like, where is Sonny? Or where's the guy – you know, like, where's JP? Where's Fielden? For my fucking liking because I want to run at him.
Yeah.
You'll get the time to run when all the cards align for you to run. Mm. Bang, go at it. You know, but it's got to be the timing's got to be right.
If you're too focused on one player, you can get licked from someone else.
Everyone's trying to get you, especially in a test match. And then on to like playing against JP or Morley or Fielden or fucking any of those.
What
like
about
Sonny Bill, Roy Asatasi, frigging all the Kiwi boys. I was that dude everyone's trying to kill.
Mm. Yeah.
It's like they're going to go off. Let's take Mace's head off.
Yeah, so you couldn't particularly focus on one other
person. No, I'm worried about a whole fucking side. A whole forward pack. Do you know what I mean? So imagine worried about that. I'm not worried about one particular player. I could run bang, bang, ran straight into Roy Asatasi who can hit fucking way harder than everyone else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't want to run into Raza that much.
What about the detail of preparation? Did you just say, for instance, I know you got so much respect for Webke and Petro.
Yeah.
For you and Ogre, did you ever have conversations or did you put in a little bit more detail on your prep? Watching video on them.
We'll do a lot of prep because like you'd see what position, you know, what hand position they're in and like where Petro runs on the left, when he's on the right side of the field, he'd lean in with a little bit of a goose step and then bump you.
Yeah.
So it's like, what's the point of trying to hit that, right? Yeah. I've seen him knock out so many people on that side because they'd come up with their head in the wrong way. He'd lean in, bang. It's like hitting concrete. Yeah. On the other side, because he's got the ball in the other hand, you can get more grips. Okay. So you'd want to get him on that on his left side so you can come at it at a bit better angle. Webke, you just got to do your best. He's a fucking little tank that does not stop and he doesn't care when he gets hit.
Yeah.
And he'll just have a little bit of late footwork, which they all did really late footwork, right? There was not many guys apart from Martin Lang that used to just go straight through you.
Mm.
Then you could just fucking, you could sit anywhere and just get it, get at him.
Did you prefer Marty Langs?
Because yeah, yeah, because it wasn't, yeah. Yeah. I mean, like you could, and, but he, you got to respect the shit out of what he did.
For sure.
He was just an animal, right? Yeah. He would just run at you nonstop, 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 flick his hair back, talk some shit, do it again, do it again. Yeah. Other guys had a little bit more finesse, a little bit of late footwork. Ogle was one of those guys. He was crazy as well.
Mm.
Fucking maniac. Him and Petro would go at it. Him and fucking Webke would go at it. I was a little bit smarter, right? A little bit wider from the ruck. Right, like Ogre Roy and all that. They, that's their job here. I'll be on the third sort of wave, right?
Yeah,
I'll be
like
the Carrigan after Payne, Haas and Flegler. Not silly. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, yeah, I could, but I could, but I got played in test now. I'll play front row. I had to do that job, right?
Okay.
Club football. Different if I got roles. 10 and 8 on my back, I'll do that job.
Yep.
If I got 11, 12, that means I can sit a little bit wider. You got the big dogs in the middle. Get a little bit wider off the block plays and get at the edge. That's my job. Set the edge. Split them up, offloads, all that kind of shit. Go back to the middle. So it worked in a fucking, when it works really well, you fucking pump teams through the middle, get on the edge, then go back on the long side, and then kick, bang, they're, you're belting them down on the corner there. It's similar to like Penrith used to do.
Yeah.
Test football is different. I used to play in the middle in the test, but I always used to defend in the test. So it's just like, your head's on a swivel. Fucking Adrian Morley's there, Peacock's there, Fielden's there, they're all trying to take your head off. Barry McDermott, remember that big old pommy?
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking my first test was against Barry McDermott, right?
Didn't he
had fucking one eye. Shout out to Barry. I know he loves the fucking show too.
Oh, yeah. Shout out
old,
Barry.
Hardcore, pommy dude.
Yeah.
And when he played fucking against for England, put his fucking bulldog in his eye, a glass eye. So I'm sitting there, young 20-year-old playing against the fucking against these big pommies, right? The old massive Andy Farrell, all these legends
was
of
that
the game.
To represent, like,
it was
the
my first test, yeah. So I was against the British Lions.
British Lions, okay.
Yeah, so like, so we played, he put this fucking thing. I was like, oh my God. I remember watching Big Barry on, you know, in Super League and all, just bustling everyone. Now I'm playing against him.
What did the bulldog represent? What was it?
British Bulldog.
British Bulldog.
The British Bulldog put that in. I'm just like, I was a young 21-year-old, just going, holy fuck.
Yeah, that's scary.
Barry McDermott's a scary looking motherfucker too. And back then, he wanted to punch the shit out of you.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, you could just fuck off, Barry. Like, just sort of do your job and everything like that. But it was just such a head on swivel sort of thing, right? I was like, you get the ball here. Adrian Morley's leg speed is as quick as anyone over 10 meters.
Yep.
He'd match all the backs and everything. So if you're not accounting for Adrian Morley, so right now, you wouldn't be doing what Adrian Morley does. So A, B, C, he'd be nearly on a four-man. He'd be catching. As soon as you catch the ball from there, if it's a long ball from Bedsy, you're getting cracked in the head.
Yeah. Like, that it become a bit of a trend, but then people started exposing
I'd end up saying, I would always be looking like that.
Bang.
Shooter. That's it. Bang. Then he'd have to go back in his little space.
Yeah.
Right? Because all the big guys in England, they were big guys in the middle. Moz was big, but he had really good footwork and he was really agile.
Mm.
So he always had to account for Morley. But then you'd have to tip it a little bit and play some football. So the forwards started actually playing football back in the mid-2000s, Moz sort of had to go back into the middle a little bit more.
Yeah.
So then he could fuck you up anyway.
Yeah.
Right. JP wasn't, no one was as dangerous as Morley.
Yeah.
Right. I wouldn't really account for anyone apart from him. Gordon Tallis was another one.
Yeah.
You have to fucking account for Gordon Tallis.
Where is he on the field?
You have to account for Tony Carroll.
Yeah.
And them other guys like Petro and that, you just have to fucking take your medicine, cop your fucking hits, and that's it.
So how quickly are you accounting for him? Are you rolling on, like, say, just say, for instance, you're playing at the Bulldogs and Gordy Tallis is playing for the Broncos. Ogre's taking a carry. All right, this is probably where I'm going to load up. Are you starting to go?
Yeah, where's Gordy? Where's Gordy? Because just say if it's on the right side of the post there, you got a 16, you got a 4.
Yeah.
He's going to be he's their right 4. He was right edge
back row, wasn't
he? Yeah, so he was sitting on that edge there.
Yeah.
And just like, if I get a wide ball from the 9, he's going to jam. I want him to jam so I can pass. I'm always going to have block shape. I'll go out the back.
Yeah.
But if it's fucking just me here, and then he might come in a little bit.
Yeah.
Then you really got to account for him. But if you got support, then you can't do shit. If you're one out, he will fucking pump you. And then on the other side, Tony Carroll's there trying to just
–
I'd rather run at the biggest guy than Tony Carroll because he's got the perfect body to fuck you up. A 6 foot guy, six foot five guy like me, bang, in the ribs, pick you up, leg, bang. I ran him in an Origin one time. There's a fucking photo of it. Luke, you'll find it. I'm about 7 foot in the air.
Yeah.
But I got an offload away, so it didn't count, Tunza. It didn't count. And when we got back, when he hit me and drove me into the ground, I said, I got it away. Laughed my ass off. But yeah, so if that answers your question, you've got to have your head on the swivel. But back then, tests were fucking brutal because you could fight and people just taking each other's heads off. Look at that test in 06, like what we did, when me and Fielden and that. I'd be sent off straight away for hitting Fielden there, let alone fucking longing, elbowing him in the head.
Yeah.
That was just part of the game. Everyone was so desensitized to the 80s, 90s and 2000s. They just let it slide. Now, that's why Latrell looks like he's such a fucking angry dude, because he's built from that sort of shit.
He doesn't get to just lick someone.
He just wants to pump everyone.
I think there's a few that would just love to just have a crack and get it done.
Cody Walker, he wants to get
it done. So, boys, JRs and Johnny Lloyd, hope that answers the question. I love hearing those. Even for me, I enjoy those stories from Mace talking about the old era. It's as good as it gets. All right, this one's from Kieran Palmer. I love the insights you guys give on NRL players as you've been there and done it, but respectfully, do not review the refs. Given to my knowledge, you guys don't have any reffing experience or have an idea what it takes to ref an NRL game. Also, audiences don't have the comms, what input they receive from the bunker, touches, etc. So, first of all...
That's why you got the shirt on.
Yeah, now I've
got the... Actually, I got the shirt, the ref shirt on.
I'm actually a pass... I worked at Foot Locker and on referee basketball games. No, so Kieran Palmer, you sound like you are at least know someone or have done some refereeing in the past. My knowledge of the game is my 120 games of playing NRL with NRL referees. So I've got a fair idea how to referee a game just because I haven't actually refereed a game myself. And I apologize. Well, not apologize, but what I meant to say was I was going to review the referees because I just want to get a feel for the referees because I always feel like I've watched some games where there's been some really bad decisions, but I'm not going to bore everyone's time talking about referees on this show.
All I know.
This is just for my own personal data. I want to keep track on it.
All
right. And then also saying that we can't, even if I wanted to do that, right, because this is mine and fucking Will's show, we can review anything we want. And just because we haven't refereed, that's just like saying the people on Channel 9, Fox, who haven't
Paul played Kent. Paul Kent, why is he commenting?
He played a game.
He didn't play first grade.
He played one first grade game, hasn't he?
No,
anyway, so even if Kent hadn't, just doesn't mean those shows aren't popular. Stephen A. Smith over in First Take, he talks about basketball, talks about UFC. Just because he hasn't played, it's still just an opinion.
Yes.
So at the end of the day, it's an opinion. And I'm not trying to beat down the rest. I thought Peter Goff had a poor game. But from my memory, I can't remember Goff having a shitload of really bad games. So I just want to get some data for my own. I'm just going to review it for myself.
All I know is Ashley Klein must be old as fuck because he reffed me in 2004.
Ashley Klein.
He's got to be up there, man. I love Ashley Klein.
I'm opposite. As in...
He's a good dude. I don't know.
If you get along with him...
I look at his refereeing.
I think there was a clip where he looked after... He was the referee.
He looked after, yeah.
Yeah.
He didn't send me off.
Yeah. And this one's from... Taifa, I think this is Tafai P. Hummer. This could be obviously a Maori name. Need a longer segment for the talk on ref calls and penalties. Maybe they will watch this video and pick up on calls and not send them to the bunker.
It's a waste of energy, man.
Reviewing referees, like, we don't want to do it. That wasn't the point of it. I appreciate what you said. So there's two people with different views on me reviewing the referees. But do you think... you know how coaches criticize referees after. Maybe if they had a rating system, just like they do review players, coaches review players.
They get a lot of real estate on our newspapers.
Keep them in check.
Yeah, they need it, mate.
I'm not too sure.
I'm not wasting my energy with the rest. They do their best. They fuck up. It's human error.
Of course.
But like, when it's human error, when they can do better, players can do better, like humans can do better, you're going to get judged on that.
Yeah.
So as I said before, guys like Kenty and Buzz and all these guys, they can sit there and analyze games if they know what they're talking about. We'll let them do that. Correct. They can do that. They've got their opinion. They're part of a show. Well, we can say what we want about refs.
And if I want to critique a referee, what's it that any different to me critiquing a player? Mm. Like, it is what it is. It's just an opinion, like I said.
Just because you haven't reffed 100 games, mate.
And I haven't reffed junior rugby league. Or I don't have the
bunker
in my ear. Go
down and ref the Clovelly Crocs for a couple of years, and then you can talk,
and
son.
Then I can talk. All right, this one's from Shire Smokers Barbecue. He always has really good questions, making me think a little bit. Hey, fellas, interesting stats from To'o and Edwards. We talked about their run meters on the review. Mm. How far away do you think teams are from on the fifth tackle between the 20 and 20, basically, finding touch every set to get a slow play the ball? So particularly when you have teams or players like the Penrith Panthers with To'o and Edwards who are running for 240 respectively, To'o, and 300 for Dylan Edwards, where his theory is just say if you're in that middle part of the field, 20 to 20, where you could kick the ball to Dylan Edwards because Panthers' defense is so good that he's basically getting it and running it all the way back to the 50, where kickers start to aim out like maybe the 30, like even though they're past the 40-20 part, They still just try to drop one 20 or 30 metres out. Panthers have to bring the ball in, slows down, get a set line. Do you think something like that could
be
implemented?
Let's break down the meterage for these guys. Let's not go, fuck, he made 300 metres, right? He's ridiculous. Like, he's nearly doing that on the average because of the field position and because of how dominant Penrith's system is.
Yep.
Most of the kickers, when you're coming out of yardage, so Cleary's just put his kick in, so he's won the little yardage barrel, so you're getting it from your 10-meter.
Putting
it
in the
cage. It's a cage kick, right? So these poor wingers on other teams are coming out, play ones and plays twos, when Penrith's team are just bashing you. Mm. Good luck getting 5 meters, mate. Good luck. Mm. Right? You get on your kick. Guess where you're kicking it from? About the 30 to 40. Where's Dylan Edwards catching it from? He's 40. Fucking 20-meter run up before anyone even gets to him.
Mm.
Around about 10 to 15 times a game he's getting that. So add those fucking meters on. That's 200 meters nearly automatically. Around about there that he's getting.
I'd say a floor of 100 he gets off kick returns.
Without getting contact. Without getting contact, where other fullbacks are catching it on their fucking 20-meter, 10-meter, like Ponga and that, and getting no field position because they're not winning the field position battle, which they never do. Teams like even Parramatta win their field position all the time. Their wingers are getting some decent numbers. Their back five's getting some decent numbers because they're winning the battle of the field position.
So it depends on the middles.
So it depends on your middles, where you're finishing on the fifth tackle. If you're over their halfway line, then you get an attacking kick in. If you're behind the fucking, if you're kicking from your 40, you're just trying to fucking get a cage kick in so you get 4 seconds so your middles can get down there and do their fucking defense. So if you're losing that battle all the time and Penrith's winning that battle all the time, the To'o's, Taruvas and fucking Dylan Edwards and Taylor Mays and Tungos, they're going to be getting over 150, 200 metres all the time.
Yeah, but that's what he's talking about with this strategy.
But you can't, why kick it out for? Good luck. And then the high risk and reward of trying to kick it out, jagging one, getting one out in the full. You're not risking it against anyone like that. Because it's just fucking straight back on that on your mark and it's just a waste of time. No one's going to do that.
And their pendulum's probably
their
so
pendulum is the best. Yeah. You cannot fucking even nearly find ground with Penrith if they're that good.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So there's no point trying to kick that fucking ball out because you're risking kicking out the full. The amount of kick pressure that they put in from marker and there's no more blockers or anything like that, get it out of your fucking game.
Yeah.
You just got to fucking try and win the field position and go at it. And that's why Penrith are fucking kings.
You know what they're kings at as well. And obviously, 100%, I agree with you, everything you said about them defensively. But you know what they do better than anyone? Dylan Edwards, Toto and Taruva. They don't fuck around.
They take the meters. I love it. I'm not taking any disrespect from the meters. They take what they've been given, but I'm only just telling you why they've been given so much. They've got 10 meters before someone even gets down there. They drain other teams. They're way fitter than them.
Yep.
Dylan Edwards don't stop. He's a proper dog. Mm. He's getting to 300 meters because he gets everything on the full and he takes those meters and he takes his hits.
Yep.
But he's just getting more opportunities than the guys like the Pongers, all the guys in the bottom four sort of side. The Buller's never going to get those. The kid from the Titans aren't going to get those opportunities. You know what I'm saying? Like Blake Taft's not really getting those opportunities. All the bottom four, six teams at the moment.
They're on the back foot.
You're getting back footed all the time by the better team. So you're just getting fucking smashed through the middle.
Yeah.
And then your back five's getting bashed.
You know what's an underrated carry too? So obviously you're right. I think on a average game, Dylan Edwards' floor would be about 100 metres before contact on kick returns just because Penrith is so good. But you know where he does some of his best work? Play four.
Yeah.
So off the back
he does, doesn't he?
Yeah. So off the back of there, you know, once they get momentum, they might, you know, kick return To'o, Taruva, Fisher-Harris, Yo, and then they get to tackle four and he's really good at taking that carry. Sometimes he gets in between the, like, just behind the markers to get Nath a good kick.
Yeah.
And then it's rinse and repeat. Yeah. But he can get about 10, 15 metres on that play four carry
sometimes.
But it's
awesome too what they do. And it's a game plan because you don't really want your fullback in the line anyway.
They revolutionised the kick return game. And
that pendulum is ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. So good. All right, mate. Speaking of the team that they played on the weekend and they did a really good job against the Broncos, but despite the Broncos' slow start to the season, a few people at the club have been reported as deals done. Walshy was announced that Walshy is very close, but he shut that down and said there's nothing official yet. Very similar to what, you know, sort of.
Why?
I think they must have agreed to terms but not signed. Mm. I guess that's probably it. But one extension that is confirmed is Kevvy Walters has been extended to 2026.
That's awesome for Kevvy. I love Kevvy. I think Ben Dobbins come out with something really good. He said, you know, he inherited a wooden spoon team.
True.
Hardly any players. And what he's built in the last, you know, 3 years is a premiership contender and a juggernaut for the next 5 years. And for him signing there, it's massive trust with the Broncos.
He's got a fucking great core to work with. They probably
Reece
need
Walsh, even not even considering talking to other clubs. His massive respect for Kevy and what he's doing. Carrigan, all these guys signing with him.
Yeah,
they're signing with Kevy.
Yes,
you sign with the coach.
Yep.
You want to know where you know. You want to know where you're going, and they trust him. And they're going, all right, let's go, Kevy. Let's win a couple.
I've been critical of Kevy in the past. I thought he was always just a really good assistant coach. I still would like to see him get over the hump with the talent that he's got. Yeah, I think that's a grand final. That's a premiership team which he's got, despite all the losses that they've had through injury and players moving on. But he does have a roster that any other coach would dream to have at the moment. He's got two solid middles. He has a premiership winning half on the back end of his career. And he's got probably two of the biggest X factors in the competition right now in Reece Walsh and Ezra Mam. So he's got everything there to get the job done.
And you know what he's changed as well in the last 3 years? Everyone wants to be a Bronco.
Yes, young kids coming through.
6 years ago, people were leaving that system to go somewhere else. Melbourne. Never, ever happened. Yep. It never happened. That's why guys like Gordon Tallis and all these greats were rolling in. Just go, what the fuck? People were leaving the Broncos? You grow up in Queensland wanting to play for two teams, the Broncos and Queensland.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
You do not go down to Sydney. You do not go up to North Queensland or anything like that. You stay in the Broncos. Now, I think that's flipped. It's gone back around again. Kevy's gone that. Everyone wants to be a Bronco again. So that's a big, big cultural move.
Yeah, you're right. I think in particular, the Broncos have reestablished themselves in Brisbane.
Big hitters.
And making sure that none of their best juniors leave. And I think Todd Payton's doing that in North Queensland as well. With the nursery that he's coming through at North Queensland, he's really identified the North.
Yep.
And they're keeping on. They're holding most of their best kids as well.
It's good.
So,
it's good for Queensland.
Yeah.
Just make them heaps stronger. That's all.
No origin just chat.
Just keep reading unbelievable footballs.
All right. Let's go. Let's get into previewing the round. But before we get into it, mates, I am going to give you my Levels Bets Friends special for this week. So you can find this on the Tab app. I am going to upload that to our channel, which is the Levels Bets Friends channel. This week, the game that I'm targeting, mate, is the Sharks versus the Raiders. And the Sharks are missing a whole heap of middle. So I'm going to go the Raiders plus 4.5. And we talked about him in the review of the game. I think Matty Timocor is on the verge of becoming a premier centre if he's not already there. So I got him to score in the first 60 minutes. And the traders have given us a price of $6.50. with a max bet of $25. So after the show, I'm going to upload that into our Bets Friends channel. So go on, you can copy that straight to your slip and have a little nibble on that responsibly, of course. All right, mate, let's get into previewing the games. Kicking it off with the Sydney Roosters against the Penrith Panthers, and there is a pretty big out, mate.
Yeah.
Sam Walker has been cleared to play after basically getting the all clear from two independent doctors, Mace.
Yep.
They deemed him category one originally.
That's
alive
the bad one, right?
During
is that the
game.
Bad one?
That means that's an automatic 11 days, but they got two independent doctors to review it and then obviously assess Sam Walker, who had been cleared by an independent doctor on the game, like straight after the game. So with that rule, mate, I'll clarify that. A lot of people think the Roosters are getting beneficial treatment, again, as per. But if you know the details of it, so basically, if you show signs of just completely being knocked out, then it's category one, and that's an automatic 11 days.
Fair enough.
Sam Walker gets hit in the neck from Jack White, and he sort of stumbled around a little bit, but he was always sort of grabbing at his neck. He obviously got hit fairly hard in that position, which rattled him. He comes off the field. The independent doctor, not a Roosters doctor, goes through the process with him. He's cleared. He could have come back onto the field realistically if it was only a category two, but that wasn't the case because it was category one. They appealed it. They got two more doctors to look at the case, and he is right to go this week. So I've got no problem with it. His halves partner, Luke Keary, who's actually coming back from a HIA, is good to go because Sandon Smith is out. He had a syndesmosis injury, I believe, or ankle lower body injury. Lindsay Collins is also out. Jesus. He's been replaced at prop by Terrell May with Egan Butcher, the new name on the bench. As for the Panthers, huge one. Nathan Cleary is set to miss 4 weeks with a hamstring injury. While Scott Sorensen was also missing in this game. So Brad Schneider, who has just spent some time in the Super League, comes back into the team. Luke Garner will go to the starting lineup. And Maverick Guy, the son of Mark Guy, will make his debut, mate.
Well done. There's some big losses there. The Sam Walker one, him walking off, I could see that he wasn't injured like HIA was. So that's a fair call.
Yep.
Don't try and think, oh, pulling strings to get, you know, no one's fucking with people's brains these days. Cleary's a massive loss. I'm just simply going with the Roosters because of Cleary.
I'm with you.
He just holds so much energy. He's the best player in the world. But that makes, you know, the six, Jerome Luai, it makes him dangerous, right? Because he really loves these moments, and his record without Cleary is up there. I'm not sure what it is, but I think he's won more than what Cleary has won without him. So
you know who really steps up in this moment?
Dylan Edwards.
Yes, but Yo through the middle.
Yes.
Yoey really steps up. Yoey always has man of the match performances when Naif's out.
I just think he'll be nullified in the middle there because of Victor Radley.
Yep.
And Hargraves, Terrell May's been good, Tupanua, Butcher. They got a good middle. They work hard.
Will the tab agree with you, mate?
Yeah.
Their price is $1.53. The Panthers is $2.50. The line is a try, mate, 5.5. So you like the Roosters, but do you think they can beat them by more than 6?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm on the Roosters as well.
Yep.
And my anytime try scorer for this game, I just think he really loves playing at Allianz Stadium. It's going to be a really good battle, a really good defensive battle between these two. Joseph Manu up against the newly extended Taylor May. I think that's going to be a good battle. Yeah. I'm going Joseph Manu anytime at $2.90, and I like the Roosters at -5.5. If the Roosters are ever a chance of getting the Penrith Panthers over the last couple of years.
Oh, it's now, yeah.
This is your opportunity.
Because their bench is stronger as well.
At home? Yep. I like them across the board.
I like the bench because Connor Watson was playing outstanding last week. Egan Butcher's back. So he's been obviously playing in reserve grade. Be filthy. So when they get the chance to get in there. Nafau. Yeah. He's a beast.
He goes good.
Far out. And Angus Crichton.
He's playing at the Rabbits a couple of years ago. They got him from the Rabbits.
Animal, man. He's debuting. Liam Henry, they've played fuck all games, man. Dane Laurie's a small body. I'm not sure where you're going to put him. Eisenhuth's their biggest body. So they're going to be relying on some big minutes in the middle.
Liam Henry's got that dog in him, though.
Yeah, he does. He does. But so does like Crichton. So does Butcher. Watson.
All right. Speaking of dogs, Bulldogs got that dog in him. Rabbitohs versus Bulldogs, Friday 4 p.m. at Accor Stadium. I'm actually calling this game for SEN, mate, so I'm looking forward to getting out there and watching this game live. The Rabbitohs, Damien Cook moves back into the starting lineup, and Saliva Havili drops all the way to 18th man. Hate that decision. I hated Saliva starting on the weekend. I leave him on the bench. That's where he does his best work. And now, because of the poor performance, he's got dropped all the way out where
he is really a
point of difference for him. I hate that decision. Anyway, Michael Cheekham and Shaq Mitchell are the beneficiaries. They move into the reserves with Sean Kepi also relegated. So the Rabbitohs, the Bulldogs are unchanged. Off the back of last week's win, listed amongst the reserves though, Josh Adokar, who's in the 23 jersey. So he must be close, mate. I know the injury that was they thought Fox had originally wasn't as bad, so he must be really close as well. Do you have any information on that?
Yeah,
Do you think he's a champ?
Every time I'm in there, he's always he's getting treatment. So he's working his ass off to try and get back. It's not like an AC joint, right? It's ligaments.
Okay.
You know, the AC, they just jab that and you go straight back on.
So you need to build up the strength
more
around it.
It needs all the repair, that stuff. You know, if you can't do this in a game, you know what I mean, or do all these little movements, like you're not going to really play. So I like our boys. I think we need to really prey upon South's sort of.
Yeah. Go after it.
You know, like they're not their most confident. You know, when they're the most confident, they're hard to beat. Latrell's like really, he's that dude. But like only takes one game for those guys, man. Latrell can beat us by himself.
Yeah.
He single-handedly can beat us by himself. He's fucking done it before. Whoa. And I'm very wary of the fact that he's like that, right? So I just love our boys. So I just think like I think they can go on a little bit of a run here.
Yeah.
Well,
at the tab agree with you, mate. As for the line, the Bulldogs are underdogs at $2.65 with the tab. The Souths are $1.48 favourites and deservedly so. Based on the history of the last couple of years, the line is +6.5 and the money has actually been for the Bulldogs at the +6.5. So they don't think if Souths are going to win, they're not going to blow them out just because of all the changes and all the unrest. The line the other way is -6.5. This is a hard one. I've gone against you on this one, mate, but I'm by no means confident. I'm just purely putting it on a Latrell Mitchell. This will be the last time I do it too. If they don't get the job done against you guys and
convincingly.
I don't think they're going to pump you by 40 by no means, 30 or like what they've done last couple of years where they've had really good performances. But I can see winning by a try and maybe kicking away late. And the guy you mentioned, Trell Mitt, anytime, 260.
He scored three last year and he was mucking around for the whole game.
He needs to – it's a big game for him. So I can see a world in which he really gets into his work. So that's where I'm going, mate. But by no means am I confident.
You know, we're well aware of what Latrell Mitchell can do at the club, you know what I mean? Like, and Cody Walker and Cam Murray and Damian Cook. But they're Jack not Whiten. Playing good.
They're not. They're down on confidence.
If they've won two games out of the their first three, I'm like, yeah, okay, you probably give the Roosters one a bit of a pass, but because it's just I don't know.
There's an opportunity.
There's an opportunity for us to really go at it, right? So, and I think we're going to go full force.
Okay, the next one is the Brisbane Derby. We talked about him before. The Broncos versus the Cowboys. This would normally be a cracker, but there are so many.
I'll be there.
Outs.
I'll be up there.
Oh, that's right. Oh, nice. Nice. Are you going to the game?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. All right, mate. Obviously, Reece Walsh.
They've got a suite and everything. I was like, oh, fucking hell.
Fuck. First world problems. Yeah. I didn't want to, but we got a suite.
I just want to sit at home and watch.
Yeah, it would be.
In the hotel. Just chill.
When you go, so for people that don't know, when Mace goes to these sorts of events, he just gets his ear chewed off the entire time.
It's nonstop. You don't get to watch your game, mate. Yeah. That's the thing.
So the Broncos versus Cowboys, no Reece Walsh with that facial fracture. It's apparently not as bad, or he's not going to have surgery, so he could be back a little bit quicker than expected. So Tritty Saylor is going to be taking his spot. And speaking about getting back quicker is Adam Reynolds, who returns with Jock Madden making way. Jaden Hunt comes into the back row for Brendan Piakuta, who injured his ankle at training. And veteran Corey Oates comes onto the bench. As for the Cowboys, Zach Labert was a late scratch in last week, so Tom Chester reverts back to 18th man. This is a coin flip, mate. This is a $1.90 either way. This is my favorite play of the round. I like the Cowboys. I really like the Cowboys.
Payne Haas is playing. I'm going Broncos. Simple.
Payne Haas, I don't love the Cowboys as much if Payne Haas is playing.
Because he has so much energy in that team. And he gets Carrigan on that third play, and he can do what he wants. So you got Jensen now and Fletcher Baker trying to control the first one or two or the second and third.
Yep.
They're not usually going to be that quick of play the balls like Payne Haas. Just Skittles blokes, plays a ball, Carrigan gets on the back foot. So I'm like, well, that just takes him out of the game. Of course, Carrigan's going to do Carrigan things. He's going to get numbers, he's 80 minutes, he does his thing, but he just won't be as dominant.
As effective.
Won't be as dominant as he would be with Payne Haas.
Yep.
I just like the way the Cowboys are going and how their team's unreal. Tristan Saylor losing Reece Walsh, he is massive.
Yeah,
it's like us playing against Melbourne and Billy's out. I'm like, fuck yeah.
Even if they
now we're a chance.
Even if they put Cameron Munster or Jerome Hughes back there,
doesn't matter.
It's still not Billy.
It ain't Reece Walsh.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's so dangerous. You got to count for him anywhere on the field, right? Like what he did in that first round when he just took him apart against South. Ridiculous. You give him a long four, you get a 6-4 split and he sits behind the play the ball. He sees that. He's going against your middles. You're not stopping him.
Yeah.
It's like KP getting the ball. You're like, holy shit.
Yeah.
He's more dangerous than KP.
The fullback positions, different sort of play.
On those long fours, he's different because KP, when he's going around the back, he's different. When Walsh just gets you and just smokes you for pure speed, you're done.
Looking forward to seeing Tritty Saylor. I'm with you, mate. Yeah. So I'm going to go. So our partners, the Tab, have it $1.90 coin flip. The line is -1.5 towards the Cowboys at $2. That's what I'm going to take. I'm going to take the -1.5. And I got a price of $3.25 for Jeremiah Nanai, who loves playing at Suncorp and scoring tries for fun. And I think he's been on fire to start the season. So I'm going to stick with Jeremiah.
Well done, Tristan Saylor, too.
Yeah.
Resilience, perseverance. Sticking with it. Hopefully he gets about a month of really good football in him.
Yeah,
proves to everybody that he's a first grader. I think he just loves Brisbane because I reckon he could fit into any other team.
Yeah, there's definitely a few options where he could play elsewhere for sure.
If he kills it for 4 weeks and then he can force their hand and be on the 17.
All right, mate, just the two games on Saturday, kicking it off with the Dragons versus the Seagulls with the game on Easter Monday, Tigers versus Parramatta. So the only two games on Saturday, kicking off at 5:30 p.m. Wynn Stadium down in Wollongong, Dragons. All right, so they get a few ins back in the forward pack. Frankie Molo, Jacob Little and Jaden Sewer are all back. Therefore, Jack DeBellin, Jesse Marschke, and Raymond Faitella-Marino all moved to the bench.
What?
And Hame Saleh is back from a hamstring injury, and he's also on the bench. So a few dropped out. As for the Seagulls, one to watch out for. Tommy Talau was again listed amongst the reserves. You talked about it. You thought sort of one of the weaknesses will be on the wing. So Raymond Tuimalo-Vega retains a spot on the wing, but don't be surprised if Tommy Talau is thereabouts. As for another name in the reserves who comes back from his suspension from the trials is our boy Toa Fofoa Sipley. So looking forward to seeing Sips. If he doesn't play this week, getting back into the team at some point. I think I love Sips, and I think he's part of our best rotation. Yeah. So our partners at the tab have the Dragons $3.25 underdogs at home. Manly are very short at $1.35. I know it's a really tough place to play down there, so I'm interested to see where you're going to go on this one, mate. Oh, the line is 7.5.
Manly all the way.
All the way.
I just think whatever – that first, what, 25 minutes or whatever, like that was dominant, man.
Mm.
They can I think they'll just get progressively better and better and string in like just say 70 minutes like that.
You're not worried that they dropped off though? No. Like all the, even though there was a few calls, they mentally dropped off.
I just think that they'll just get stronger because they'll understand when we dropped off, why we dropped off. When you got leaders like Trbojevic and DCE then that identify why and when and what we can do to get out of it, you just get better.
Okay.
And then Tommy's like, he's going to take control of that sort of stuff as well. Like, they had the foot on the throat, man. It's 14-0.
Yeah, you're right. And Dragons also had a really big lead and lost it even worse.
And I just think, I think Manly are a way better team. They're going to get big boy Harmole, bigger Schmole out there. Get him more ball. Get him more ball.
Well, I love that, Mace, because he is my play.
I want him to fucking get, I want him to get 20 touches.
7 carries for 77 metres.
And I know the game, you know, sometimes you just can't get in the game as a back rower. You're not really getting on the open side and you're on the back foot when Parramatta had all that ball. But DCE, get the boy the ball.
I think he will, mate.
Get him the ball, man.
So poor Tanner Boyd had lined up against Viliami Kikau on the weekend.
Yeah.
I'm looking at that edge and he's been pretty good to start the season. Kyle Flanagan is left edge, marking up on Big Homoli. He's going to get some traffic.
Yeah,
he's going to get some traffic. Manly -7.5 for me, $1.85. Olakwatu anytime at $2.60. I really like my anytime try scores. I haven't gone too willy-nilly this week as well. I think I've got some – it made me focus. Only hitting 1 from 8 last week didn't sit well with me, so I'm trying to get back on the board here. Saturday, another really interesting game is the second game on Saturday as well. The Gold Coast Titans at home to the Dolphins who have had the bye. So no Tino's done his ACL, but looks like Jaden Campbell has been named to return and David Fifita is 18th man. Ooh. So therefore, Keno Kinney is not in the team. And Keenan Palacia comes into the starting lineup at prop with Joe Stimson, the new name on the bench for Tina Fasulmalali. But do we think we're going to see David Fifita, mate?
Man, I'd love to. Mm. They said it was going to be about, 2 or 3 weeks?
Yeah, maybe? This is about right.
No,
yeah, this
he's definitely, I'm definitely not rushing him if I'm Desi, and he's pretty good like that. If it takes another week. You always used to think when you come back from long-term injury or anything like that, when you think you're ready, just take another week.
Yeah, okay.
You know, if he's training full with the team and he's getting through all these reps and, you know, it's not – I'm not sure. What sort of injury did he have?
I think it was like a strain of some sort.
Yeah, so about like just getting straight line running, linear running. It's about what's his game, right? He's destructive. He's got people hanging off his hamstrings and calves and all that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? So he's got to be able to go into contact with the confidence that he can come out the other end. Do you know what I mean? So if he doesn't have that confidence – as a ball runner, take another week.
All right, so what did he have? This is shoulder, partial pec tear he had. So that's what he had.
Yeah, you wouldn't be – defense is – like that's what I'm saying. You cannot train for NRL speed. You can't. Yeah. Like even like in defense, you're just going to be really tight. You know, he's going to be exposed out there like that. What's going to happen when they come off his inside? You know what I mean? Like it's just, you know, it just – you'd be taking another week or two, I reckon.
All right. As for the Dolphins, Ray Stone returns and replaces Mudders Wallace on the bench. The bye means Cody Nikorima, who was ruled out of the game before the bye, HIA is good to go, so he'll be playing 6 and partner up with Isaiah Kotoa, who just got upgraded for another 3 years.
It's good.
I think that's a really good signing for the future of the Dolphins and for him. And then can take a little bit of pressure off. I think he can play some footy. The Titans are $2.15. The Dolphins are $1.70 with the tab. They're favourites, even though it's at Gold Coast. And the line is 2.5. You're on the Dolphins, mate?
Yes, yes.
The Dolph Lundgrens?
Yeah.
I'm on the Dolphins as well, -2.5. And I think Whenever I think of Gold Coast Titans or Gold Coast games, I always just feel like there are a lot of tries, a lot of people breaking through the middle.
Could be like a 38-30 game.
Yeah. So give me Hamiso Tabuai-Fido at $2.25. I think he just scores in most games, and this is a game where defense ain't going to be the priority for these two teams. I think there's going to be some points.
And if you are, if it is defensive orientated, the Dolphins can defend better.
Yes.
They can. They can really muscle it down and play that boring sort of football because they've got those old heads in the pack. They can still get it done. Yeah. So and like look at the pack on Titans. Fodawaker, Chris Randle, Palacia, Haas, Fermor, Jolliffe. Mm. There's probably 400 games in between all of them.
Yeah. You know?
Like it's not that much. Yeah, Jesse Bromwich has played more by himself. Pretty much. Than about three of those players.
Yeah,
I know that.
Yeah, that's a good
so
point.
So that's experience. And you chuck Felice Kaufusi in there. You know, so yeah, I just think experience will get him over the line.
Yep. All right, I'm with you, mate. The Warriors versus the Knights are kicking off Sunday, 4 p.m. at Go Media Stadium there, over there in New Zealand. Tane Tuipiki is out with the HIA. Therefore, RTS moves to fullback, which brings Adam Pompey back into the centres. Whilst this is, I think, an underrated in, Murata Nikora is set to play his first game of the year. He moves back onto the bench with Dylan Walker, who missed last week's game, and Wade Egan. So plenty of big ins there for the Warriors.
Yep.
The Knights, however, they're missing Leo Thompson for that one-game ban on Ryan Papenhuyzen for, I think it's a poor decision too. He was clearly always looking at the ball the entire time. You know when?
Oh, yeah, Leo that was Thompson silly, man. They need to take some accountability. I'm glad they did that.
I disagree.
I'm just saying, like, because like what if he lands on his neck and breaks it, or breaks his leg, or lands weird because a big guy down the field is not even looking where he's going. He's just sort of following the ball. Next minute, Pappy's making his move. Like, just get out of the fucking way.
No, I disagree.
Yeah,
Leo Thompson. You're saying yeah, but no,
I'm just saying. I said yeah, you can disagree, but like whatever. Just like I just think, just get out of the way.
Leo Thompson was eyes on the balls the entire time, and this is, I think, a tactic. You remember
he had it? Do you reckon he had eyes on the ball?
He did.
Did he?
I would look. You can't 100% say that with conviction, but I believe he did.
Yeah.
And this is a tactic. You'd understand this from Melbourne Storm back in the day. Billy used to go super early and karate chop. And Pappy wasn't karate chopping, but what you do, if you go early, I seen it in the, I think it was the Warriors-Raiders game, where Jordan Rappen was doing it off a dropout. He was just about to go take off, but because Rocco Berry jumped so early, just as he's about to go launch and go up for the ball, there's a collision before any of it can start. Mm. So what it does is lead to these sort of actions. And I don't want to see Ryan Papenhuyzen injured, like especially with what he's been through, but I think there is a tactic for a lot of catchers to get up a little bit earlier to therefore get that collision.
Engage contact? You reckon they want to engage on the contact?
Engage, because I don't think there was no malice in Leo Thompson.
I just think like Leo Thompson just didn't know where the fuck he was.
So you're saying maybe negligence.
Yeah, that's what it is. Because I looked at that and went, he doesn't know. He's got no chance for the ball and you're going to just be in the way.
So you reckon?
Get out of the way, middle. I know exactly where he is. Just fucking move.
So you're one game ban for bad footy awareness.
Yeah, no awareness, Leo. That's what he's getting. He's just got no footy awareness. You're going to have a week just for that shit. But I understand why the game's coming down on it, right? Because I get it. They do try and engage in contact because Billy was the fucking king at it. Yep. He used to come with little kicks, little karate kicks on your chest. Yep. Used to get away with all that sort of shit.
Yeah.
But
you can't compete in the ball if he's getting up and kicking.
No. But like now, I think the refs are all over that shit with what the fullbacks are doing as well. But Leo was just like, he was doing his thing, right? But he just got lost. He's like, right at the end, Pat, and then Pappy probably saw him and goes, I'll fucking try and jump over him.
Mm.
And then he didn't know he was going to fall under his legs,
man, it could have gone really bad.
It really looked bad. Yeah. So I just think they're trying to eliminate that sort of, you know, he could imagine if, right? It's like the cannonballs. Imagine all these, get him out of the game.
Mm.
It's just not a football play.
But my only problem with it is you might, I don't know if you would have seen it, but I believe, I could be wrong with the players, but I believe it was the Warriors game where it was off a dropout, and I think Jordan Rappener.
Jordy's good at that
Rocco,
shit too,
Rocco Berry. No, it was the opposite. Jordan Rappener was just about, he was the guy, Leo Thompson. Yeah. Rocco Berry comes in to catch the ball off a dropout, and he sort of gets clipped underneath, and originally it was a penalty for taking him out. Once they reviewed it, they seen that Jordan Rappener was just about to sort of go up for the ball, and then he gets clipped at the same time. So
I remember watching it.
And then it goes back to perception.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, and I just think because Leo's a middle, they're like, you don't know what you're doing.
I think because it's Pappy too, because he's the star of the game.
And it looked awful.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Because Leo Thompson has no right to sort of be in there. They just want middles just to fuck off.
Yeah.
That's why they're changing all these rules.
So Brody Jones is the new guy on the bench, Mace. The Warriors are favourites with all the yins at $1.42. The Knights are $2.90 with our partners, the Tab. The line is -7.5 about the Warriors. So there's been money for the Warriors -7. Do you think the Warriors can beat them by more than 8? Because yes, I feel like you're going on the Warriors.
Yeah, I'm on the Warriors hard. Yeah, I think they'll put a score on.
Yeah, I'm with you, mate. I'm a little bit worried about the Knights.
Yeah. This should be a good test for them.
I've got my concerns about the Knights. It's probably the better thing to say. So I'm...
Yeah,
we said that.
But him just being a fullback, I just want to see what he opens up. He can attack both sides of the field now. He's not stuck on the left side. He can go right, left, through the middle, be around wherever he wants, support through the middle. Like, yep. He is dangerous. I think he's got his legs. He's got his rugby league legs now.
A month of footy.
Therefore, he can be a lot fitter because you've got to do a lot more meters, man.
He played almost 60 minutes in both trials.
Yeah.
And now
it's awesome.
Three games. So it's basically 5 games into his return. I'm with you. I think he'll be really good.
What happens if he kills it? Klotstad comes back, surely.
We'll see. Warriors -7.5. You know what? I think internally they're fine with it and they'll definitely make a decision, go back to Chansey, but the pressure will build from the outside. Mm. The fans. That's where it come from. I'm going the Warriors -7.5. And because Roger Tuivasa-Sheck is back, I'm going to go Rocco Berry. I think he's going to be a distraction out the back. Remember, Rocco Berry runs all those little nice tight lines. They haven't really been hitting him because they haven't had a true threat out the back. Yeah. Now with Roger, maybe you second guess. Maybe you start leaning out.
Him out the back. It's just like having Ponga out the back. It's like having Pappy out the back because, simple fact.
Distracted.
He's very distracted because I'm worried. I'm accounting for him. What's he going to do? Because he can smoke you off both feet now. It's unbelievable. So those centers and the back rolls as well. Back rolls, so they might get some joy.
Bradman Best might be going, Roger. Inside shoulder, bang, dusted. Yeah. All right, the second game at 6:15. It's at PointsBet Stadium. The Sharks host the Raiders. I think this will be a good game. There's a few outs for this game, specifically for the Sharks. All their middles, Dale Finucane, Royce Hunt, and Toby Rudolph are all out. Therefore, Cale Iro comes into the centers. Sifatelakai moves from the centre to the back row to account. Yeah. Jack Williams moving back into the middle. Daniel Atkinson and Tuka Hautapua, who played against your Bulldogs. And he's huge, by the way, Mace. He's a big body. He's on the bench now. As for the Raiders, they've got a couple of changes as well. James Schiller comes into the wing position. You hear about Albert Hopewadi burn himself? He could have – he had a cooking accident. That's why he was a – he's out for this game.
Shit, bad.
It could have been really bad. He burned his hands or his arms or something. Yeah, right. And Seb Chris returns from his concussion in week
two. It's a big in.
So, huge in. He's a really good player. Corey Horse played for New South Wales Cup this week and he's still listed amongst the reserves. So, the bench and the starting pack are doing a really good job of keeping an origin player out of the 17.
Your boy, Timoko, anytime try scorer, will be going up against a young kid, Irol.
Yep.
Irol. So, That'd be a bit of joy there. He's a good kid, but he's going against one of the best centers in the game.
Yeah.
And Talakai's been doing a really good job.
He has been.
Really good defensively. Now he's going in a couple. That's a big difference with the lungs.
Might be a bit gassed.
With the lungs. That's so you're getting a lot of traffic. I like Canberra in this one.
Yeah, so do I.
They're a bunch of dogs, man. They nearly got the Warriors over there, and the Warriors were on.
Yep.
It can be hard to beat, man.
Yep, I agree.
Sticky said a couple of weeks ago, this is the best roster he's had for 10 years or something like that. That's, I'm not sure if it's a slight from the people leaving or trying to give his boys confidence, but they're believing it.
Shout out to Jared Croker and Jack Whiten.
Yeah, zero work done for those guys.
Yeah, he's just trying to get a reaction.
He installs confidence like that. When they read shit like that, they're like, oh, fucking really?
Fuck yeah.
Sticky loves us.
Yeah. If you're a young kid, you hear that from your coach.
Yeah, you're like, fuck, he's had. Because then you go through the teams that Ricky's had.
Yeah, you run through a brick wall
for him. Better than the 2019 team?
Yeah.
Shit.
Well played. So the Tab have the Canberra Raiders at $2. I even like Canberra head-to-head, but I'll take the +4.5.
Oh, Canberra all the way.
About the Canberra Raiders. I like Matty.
13 plus.
Matty Timical.
This one, those middles that they've lost, they rely on Royce Hunt.
You very Toby rarely Rudolph. Get this wrong.
It's when Canberra are on and when they're going good, they can put some points on you because they don't stop doing their thing. They'll keep doing what they did in round 1, 2, 3, 4 and just get better.
Yeah. You have a 13 plus per week, and it's very real. Yeah. It's very close to the money most of the time. So responsibly, of course.
Of course.
All right, the last game, Parramatta versus the Tigers. Much improved Tigers in only 1 week. So Blaise Talangi moves from the centres into the halves. He's Mitch Moses.
How good's that? Like, just chuck him from starting left center to just play 5-8 this week, please, and you're starting as well.
Bit of X factor about that. As for the wing position, Mike Acevo returns, and Bailey Simonson is listed in the reserve. So there's a pretty good chance Bailey Simonson will return.
It's been good,
maybe in place of Morgan Harper potentially. As for the West Tigers, Alex Twole is the only one who's ruled out from last week. Asu Kapoa takes his spot on the bench. The Tab have this game, $1.47 favourite Parramatta Eels, $2.70 about the Tigers. The line is +6.5. So do you think the Tigers can keep it close, or do you like Parramatta? Do you think they're going to blow them away?
Oh, this game is traditionally like one of the best games, right?
It's always pretty competitive.
It'll be packed out there. What a stadium this is on Easter Monday. I think I'm going to go Parramatta, but I just think it'll be a lot closer than people think.
Okay, so you like Tigers +6.5?
Yeah, I do. I think it'll be really tight. I think Parramatta will try and really flex and go, who gives a shit about your win?
Mm.
This is the real deal now. And try and go out and blow them off the park real quick.
Good battle in the middle.
Yeah, be good. I think Parra should win it.
I was impressed with Stefano last week, but this is another
test.
He's
got to go at it. Yep. He's got to go at Reg. You know, those two are going to be going for like an origin spot this year.
Yep.
I think
Junior off the bench.
Yeah, Junior off the bench. They're the incumbents. So the young kid wants to knock them off. He needs to go at him.
Yep.
All the selectors will be watching games like this.
They will.
See how personally he takes his shit.
Yep.
Right, you got him and Clem. They got a big job, man. Appy. Probably the biggest job, just getting those boys, getting them at that level where they need to be to play these big dogs.
Yeah. I'm with you, mate. I'm going to keep to this. It served me well last week. I'll dream ball at any time, $2.75. And I'm on the Tigers +6.5. I think the Parramatta will get it done in a close one, but I'll take the 6.5 for sure.
With Moses, I'll be like 100% you're
going
to
same.
It'd be like 32 to 18.
If Mitch,
but now, because I don't know what Blaze is like as a 5'8", imagine if he just comes out and torches everybody like he's got that X factor about him.
Yeah. I'm so intrigued to watch this game.
Yeah.
Blaze Talangi and Lachlan Galvin played together at my alma mater. What do they call it? That was way wrong. Get rid of that again. Get rid of that, Luke.
What is it called? With
Alma Malta. What's it called?
Alma Mater, whatever.
Alma Mater. I'm not even going
to
go there.
Talk to us.
Get rid of that one, Lukey. So,
alma mater. Get it right.
Actually, keep it in. Keep it in.
Alma mater.
Alma mater. Is that it? When they say something when you play from your college or your school? Anyway, so they went both way to Westfield Sports.
We don't have it at Toronto High, mate. Alma mater.
That's it, eh?
Yeah, it is.
That's one of my best. So those two youngsters going up against each other will be fun to watch.
How good, Zach, for Westfield.
Easter Monday.
For Westfield's high as well, right? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, just to see those two kids growing up out west, out in Liverpool, you know what I mean? That's where it is.
A core stadium, hopefully 40,000 minimum.
Crazy, bro.
For an Easter Monday game.
Be awesome.
Some people coming over from the showground, show.
Even the Good Friday game, the Bulldogs versus South.
Yeah,
that'll be crazy. It's usually crazy there.
There should be a minimum of 40,000 each for these guys.
I was sitting with Albo last year.
Yeah, that's right.
Cracking beers with him. What a legend. No, it's at Combank, isn't it?
Oh,
I said Combank, yeah.
Oh, sorry. I thought traditionally they play this one at
the Bulldogs and South always are going to add a call.
Okay, my bad. So Lukey just said this one's at Combank.
Yeah,
we want
jam-packed.
Remember, everyone to be playing safe during this footy season, so please keep front of mind, what are you really gambling with? And if you need free and confidential support, call 1-800-858-858 or visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. Everyone, round 4 preview. Ooh. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy your Easter. And we'll see
Happy
you
Easter.
Next Tuesday. Because of the game on Monday, we'll be filming Tuesday. The review will be up Tuesday afternoon.
Enjoy your footy.